Hello, I'm Veronica, Scaresbrick, Vatican Radio. As the cardinals are about to gather in the Sistine Chapel to elect the 265th successor of Peter, Professor of Fine Arts Breda Ennis brings us the second in her reflections, focusing on the symbolism of the artwork in the Sistine Chapel. A chapel with frescoes on the central ceiling vault, which were unveiled 5 centuries ago, frescoes famously entrusted to Michelangelo by Pope Julius II. In this programme, Professor Ennis chooses to relate the artwork in the Sistine Chapel to a collection of poems penned by John Paul II in 2003 by the title of Roman Triptych. In this series, she speaks of this chapel in terms of the venue where cardinals gather to elect the successor of Peter. But why don't you stay tuned?
There are only almost 400 figures in this particular fresco, so that should take about 4.5 weeks, no? Generally, people don't have much opportunity to concentrate on the Last Judgment because you're rushing through the Sistine and you're moved along. You never get what they call a full view of the Last Judgment of Michelangelo. But the cardinals in conclave have a lot of time to contemplate this magnificent masterpiece of Michelangelo's. Going back to what John Paul II himself said about this particular fresco, that he felt the importance of this fresco could not be underestimated, especially in relation to the conclaves, because they were coming into conclave to share in the legacy of the keys. So the work here is to give the keys of Peter to another person. And you see even up here on the wall, on the second level, because this fresco is divided into different sections. On the top you have two little lunettes, which are like little curved corners, where you have angels, wingless angels, holding the attributes of the Holy Week of the Crucifixion. And then below that you have a whole area where you have the patriarchs, the martyrs, the apostles, and I won't speak about the centre in the middle for the moment. And then we come down, and in the centre you have the angels heralding the last day and the day of judgment. On the left you have a mass of figures coming out of their graves, taking human form again and going up towards heaven and being helped up by other wingless angels. On the right-hand side you see the damned being taken in a boat down into hell. So you have the totality of the sacrifice of Christ on the top, which was made in order to stop people having to come down on the right-hand side. And, for example, you have also the Book of Judgment, where you have a book judging the people who are saved, which is much smaller than the book which has the names of those who are not. So it's a warning. There is a life, there is a salvation beyond this wall. He puts in all his figures, but he leaves all this wonderful blue. So when you're looking at it, you feel that the wall becomes dematerialized and all of these figures are just hanging there in space. And beyond that is where God is. So the responsibility for the cardinals, who see themselves in the midst, the beginning and the end, between the day of creation on the ceiling and the day of judgment. And the Pope said Michelangelo has to speak to them. He has to teach them. He has to help them towards linking into the Holy Spirit. And on the top part here, in the centre part, where you have this magnificent figure of Christ in the day of wrath, the Dies Irae, he has his arm raised with great authority, and he's portrayed as a young man. He used to be portrayed as a young man in Paleo-Christian art. Not so much later, because we always saw him with long hair and sort of beard, etc. Here's a young man without beard, raising his hand in power and the power of the Holy Spirit. And beside him you have the Madonna, who's in this beautiful position where she's sort of slightly in an S position, where there's a little torsion in the figure. And this blue, the blue of her robes, is unlike the blue in any other part of the Last Judgment. And also you have this lovely violet colour, which is again a colour that was used on the ceiling in the creation scenes by Michelangelo for God. And she's turning sideways as if to say, oh my goodness, oh please, compassion, please help. So the people who are obviously going to be in serious trouble here, let's say. Pope John Paul II said, when I die, I want this chapel, I want this Last Judgment, I want this work of Michelangelo to speak to the people who remain after me, to speak to my cardinals, to make sure that the keys, Peter's keys, find themselves in the right hands. That once again, Michelangelo will wrap the cardinals in his vision.
In the beginning, God created. He who sees all things. The colors of the Sistine will then speak the word of the Lord. Tu es Petrus, once heard by Simon, son of John. To you I will give the keys of the kingdom. Those entrusted with the legacy of the keys gather here, letting themselves be enfolded by the Sistine's colors, by the vision left to us by Michelangelo. So it was in August, and again in October, in the memorable year of the two conclaves. And so it will be once more when the time comes, after my death. Michelangelo's vision must then speak to them. Conclave, a shared concern for the legacy of the keys of the kingdom. Lo, they see themselves in the midst of the beginning and the end, between the day of creation and the day of judgment.
And you were listening there to Professor of Fine Arts, Breda Ennis, who's currently teaching at the American University of Rome. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.